at ourselves, at the world around us, at people, whether saved or unsaved. And that happens through the Word of God. And the verses we're going to look at this morning says it effectually works. It makes things happen as we believe it and act on it. And I like what James said, hearken, hear with the intent to obey. The only way we could ever do that is to believe it, right? That it's the truth. You're not going to follow and act on something unless you believe it and know it is the truth. And I'm here this morning to talk to us about these Thessalonican believers that were willing to lay their life on the line. You don't do that for a hoax or for a myth. You do it because you know it's the truth. So we're 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll pick up in verse 12. And well, you won't find the word perseverance in these verses we're going to read this morning, but the heart of the message, the heart of what's being said here, fits with it perfectly. And I think of perseverance. What is that? You can take the per off and you've got severance. Some of you may think of severance pay. That's a good thing if you get a severance pay. Or you can think of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and you being severed, you know. But you know, something that is being cut off. And so the purr on the front of it, what means what? Being held together. Steady persistence is what the dictionary says. In a course of action or purpose. Steady persistence, steadfastness, resolute, tenacity, unyielding in holding on in spite of difficulties or obstacles. You get in the picture here now, what it is. God has set before us His Word. He's given us the revelation of who He is to us by this Word. And if we believe it, we can persevere. And if we don't really believe it, there's no way you're going to persevere in the ways of God. So it's really all ties in together. In verse 12, first of all, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'll read that first because it leads right into the rest of the verses. What kind of pastor would leave his Bible here? It's Friday night, huh? I've got plenty of them, so I just wasn't using this one. You may be wondering, worship team, yeah, Don's Bible's here Sunday morning. What's he doing? You know, he's getting chicken soup for the soul. He's going to preach from that. Verse 12 says that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. Walking worthy of God who has called us into His own kingdom and glory. Does that speak of separation? It's a severing, but severing from the world, right? Walking worthy. God has destined us for glory. He's called us. He's chosen us. He's set us apart, severed us from the world. We are going to live for eternity in His presence. We're His kids. We're His representatives. We're His stewards. Our lives are not ours anymore. They've been bought with a price. We're to be separated. We're supposed to walk like what we are. We're saved children of God, destined to live in eternal glory that's so far beyond our imaginations. Anything we could ask, anything we could think, unspeakable joy. We can't even begin to understand it. And we've been called to that. So He says, sanctify yourself. Set yourself apart. And then He says, verse 13, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Wow, what a statement here. If you really just take a look at this, Paul wasn't saying, you believed me. He was saying, you believed God. When I presented to you these things, when I came to teach you the doctrines, to share you the gospel, tell you about the Lord God, you believed me because in truth it was God's word, not my word. You see? And I would suggest to you this morning, as I'm teaching you guys, don't look at it as Don. Well, I don't want to believe Don. Don't believe Don. But if it in fact is the Word of God, believe it as the Word of God in truth, because it is. Now, how do you know? How do you know what Don's saying is from God or not? you guys, the Bereans, and see if it's not so. And so often now, because of a biblically illiterate church, anemic church in America, whatever the guy says from the pulpit, people are believing because they don't know this. And I encourage you, all of us, to know the Word of God. Keep me accountable, keep one another accountable, submitting one to another as we mature and know God's Word. But receive it as the Word of God. Don't get mad at Don if you don't like what you heard. Get mad at God. Get mad at the Holy Spirit. Do whatever you need to do. But my job is to continue teaching and rightly dividing the Word of truth and speaking it and receive it as a truth, if in fact, indeed, it is the truth. And, you know, when I say God, that God is truth, God reveals Himself to who He is by this. I'm speaking of the Holy Spirit and Jesus, the Trinity. God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit tells us who He is right here. You don't need to find that out from anybody else. If you've made opinions from what you've heard on the radio or TV or from pulpits and it's not here, you're getting caught up in learning about a God that doesn't exist. This is the God that's revealed who He is to us. And if any opinion you might have of Him that doesn't line up with this, it's not the God. It's not this. I don't know what it is, but it's not. He wants us to know Him intimately, and He wants us to use this to know Him. He didn't leave us floundering. And so indeed it's the truth. So what I thought I would do first of all this morning is talk about the Bible. And if any of you are here or just still wondering, it's a common thing. You hear it all the time. Well, I've read the Bible. I'm not sure about this or that or whatever. Our seminaries have fallen off from biblical Christianity to now it contains God's Word, but we need to, with higher scholarship, figure out which part is indeed the truth and which part's just man's wisdom or what man threw in there. And, you know, that's one of the reasons the Calvary Chapels don't even recommend seminary unless you find the right one. They call it cemetery because you learn, it's turned into learning Harvard Business School practices, demographics, how to be successful, how to get more tithes and offerings out of your congregation. It's lost the whole thing, folks, this morning, of what God is and what He wants from us. Jesus' prayer in John 17 says, "Sanctify them by the truth. Thy word is truth." Thy word is truth. Not some of it, not a part of it, but all of it. Because once you make a crack in this armor, you have just destroyed absolutes. You've destroyed it. Now it's John holds the truth. Or he can hold the truth, even if it doesn't agree with what this is, because and now that it's been cracked. It's an absolute that we can stand on. It is, in fact, the Word of God. It doesn't contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. If you say it contains the Word of God, then that means it may contain other things, too, that aren't the Word of God. So it is the Word of God. In Hebrews 13:17, I'll just read this to you. It says, "Obey them that rule over you." And I'm not just saying me. I'm saying men and women of God that know the Word of God, that speak forth words of encouragement, exhortation, edification, sanctification, prophesy, speaking forth the Word of God in truth. Obey them and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. God says in something here that as He is using His ministers to grow us up and mature us in God, to listen to what's being said here, God is using them to help you see Him better, to know Him better, to walk in a way that's pleasing to Him. And if you reject that, it's grieving. It's a grieving for a pastor. It's grieving for some of you guys that minister to people you know. You know what I'm talking about, family members or whatever, and you're watching them walk a road that is harmful to them. Doesn't it grieve your heart? You see? And for me and for Paul, obviously, you know, the concern, the burden that they were carrying, the priest that would carry on his shoulders the children of Israel and on his breastplate, you know, when he went into the Holy of Holies, he was carrying the burdens of the people before God. It is something. And you want it to be with joy with those that God's using in your life to speak to you. And I have something from Charles Spurgeon here. As I do, I'll quote from Psalm 119:89. It says, "Your word is forever written in heaven." Every word that God has spoken and has been laid in this Bible is forever written in heaven. You can't change it because you don't believe it. It'll still happen anyway. That's what that's saying. And here's an indication, a situation of answering a guy that said, "Well, the word of God didn't really speak to me, that truth to me. I didn't get that from it." He says, "That you have not perceived spiritual things is true." I don't want that to be for any of us today. "But it is no proof that there are none to perceive. The whole case is like that of an Irishman who tried to upset evidence by non-evidence. Four witnesses saw him commit a murder. He pleaded not guilty and wished to establish his innocence by producing 40 people who did not see him do it. Of what use would that have been? So if there are 40 people who declare that there is no power of the Holy Ghost going with the Word, this only proves that the 40 people do not know what others do know." You see what I'm saying? You can't let the wisdom of the world and the people that don't know that the Word of God works effectually, that it's powerful, that it is in truth the truth. It is God's revelation to man. You can't let the non-evidence change your mind about the truth, the evidence. Let God be true and every man a liar. You see, He will be true to everything He says and everything He is. And I think this is important for us as we look at perseverance, that we understand that. You don't stand and throw your lives at the mercy of a Christ-rejecting world unless you believe it's the truth. That would be ridiculous to do.